take your Bibles and turn with me. We'll do some. We'll take prayer requests at the conclusion tonight. Right now, let's go ahead and get into the Word. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. And we started here 2 weeks ago. And then I was gone last week, and Robert filled in and spoke last week, and I heard a lot of good reports about last week, so I'm thankful to Robert for sharing the Word last week. And so now we're coming back to this, just a quick little two-part series on my part that I wanted to bring to you out of Romans chapter 12. We started this off a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to you about an altered way of living. Life at the altar is what we kind of were looking at, and we talked about that first Wednesday night, and we took it out of Romans chapter 12 and the first three verses. And let me read those three verses for you. Romans 12, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." That's your minimal service. That's just what is considered a reasonable thing for us to do, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So we talked that first week about presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, making sure that our way of living is an altar understanding. That we understand that the life that we now live is a life of sacrifice on behalf of Christ and His sacrifice. That we give ourselves. And we talked about offering your life a living sacrifice. That's what the altar was really all about. We talked about to not be conformed to this world by living for ourselves or by getting off of the altar. But we have to stay there. We have to keep ourselves there. And then we talked about at the altar, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so then we can prove the will of God for our lives. So we talked about the renewing of our mind and we talked about the mind has to be renewed. Our thoughts must be transformed by the new life in Christ. And then we need to let the Word rise in our new life. And then we finished up talking a little bit there in verse 3. That's where we're going to pick back up tonight. And we talked about thinking through the measure of faith from the altar. Thinking through that measure of faith that has been given to us. So our thought process now, once we have put ourselves on the altar, given ourselves as a living sacrifice, and we've been transformed by the renewing of our mind, getting into the Word, allowing the new mind that Christ can give us, let this mind, which was also in Christ, be in you also, letting that mind begin to operate within us, and not being conformed to the world, but being transformed. When we recognize that, then the first thing we must do in this new life is we have to begin thinking through a different filter. Okay, I want you to catch that. The Christian life, the life of a believer, when we have given ourselves to Christ and He has changed us, the life of the believer, the very first thing that needs to begin to happen is you begin to think through a different filter. It's not the world filter anymore. You don't think through the filter of your family background anymore. Amen. You know, we think a certain way and we believe certain things because of our upbringing and because of things that have been in our life and in our past and things that we have picked up along the journey. But Christ makes us new creatures. So now new creatures have new thoughts. Amen. But the only way you're going to live in those new thoughts and allow that to be effective in your life is to think filtered through faith. Amen. Now, what is important about this third verse, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. So how do we do that? By offering our lives a living sacrifice. See, if you'll keep your life on the altar as a living sacrifice to the Lord, you won't think of yourself too highly. Your life now has become a sacrifice for Christ. So don't think of more highly of yourself than you ought to, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So he's telling us how to think. Come on now. This is going to help us if we'll allow it. He's telling us that our thinking needs to be different. When you are without Christ, you think more of your life than you should. But how many know a multitude of Christians still think more highly of their life on this earth than they should? And it's not because the Lord hasn't changed them. It's because they're not thinking through the filter of the measure of faith that's now been given to them. Come on, can you hear that? See, God gives you a measure of faith. Turn to someone next to you and tell them, God's given you a measure of faith. Okay? But he wants you to think through, let your thoughts filter through that faith. Now, the question becomes, how do we know if our thinking is filtered through faith? How do we know? Actions, that's one thing. But even before that, there's a way we know. The Bible tells us we know by what we say. Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. I want you to notice something in this third verse, and I'm probably going to get ahead of myself, but that's all right. We'll get to the end in one way or another. I want you to look what Paul writes here in that third verse at the very. What's the first three words? For I say, but then what does he say? Through the grace. So my speaking, what I'm saying to you, is through the grace that's been given to me. So I'm speaking through grace. Out of the measure of faith. Amen. Now that may not mean a lot right now, but hopefully that's going to mean something here in a little bit. I speak, so we need to understand this. We've got to begin to filter now our life through faith. And we've got to begin to think first. For as a man thinketh, so is he. Come on now. I'm going to get that. These are the keys to why so many Christians live so far below what Christ purchased for us. We're coming up on Friday. That cross was more than just salvation. Let me say that another way, because that seems to diminish salvation when I say that, and that's not what I'm saying. There's probably a better way to say that. That cross was for more than just so that we could have an eternity free from hell. Because salvation in and of itself is much more than just a destination. Salvation is a brand new life, full of all the blessings of God. Amen. I mean, no, when we testify and we say we've been saved, we should be saying something. And what we should be saying is not, well, I've got a new destination. When we say we have been saved, it's not just a new destination. It's a new way of living. Come on, are y'all, anybody out there? How many know when we get saved, our life should change? Why? Because all of a sudden that measure of faith we've been given, now through grace, has sprung alive. And we can begin to now speak that out because our thoughts now are measured through this faith. Amen. And now our words are proving what's happening there. And our actions are going to follow. So, now follow this. If as a man thinketh he is, and out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. There's something tied there that then what follows proper thinking and proper speaking is proper actions. Amen. And all of this is through grace. Amen. And it's coming out of that measured faith that God has given to us. And the more we begin to keep ourselves on the altar, and the more we allow that transformation to come alive in us, and the more we resist the conforming process of the world, and the more we keep ourselves in the presence of the Lord, then the more that faith grows. Amen. So there's a way of living. And so we must think through the measure of faith. Okay? As you believe, you will speak. Now, let's go. And so what happens, and this is where we left off last week. What happens is, when we come to know Christ as our Savior, there is a new operating system that is downloaded into this body. You remember, that's where we left off. There's a new operating system now. Same body. How many know whether you got saved at an altar or in your house or in your car or at a Billy Graham crusade or wherever you were when you got saved? How many know when you got up from the altar, or you opened your eyes after saying a prayer, when you accepted Christ in your life, how many know every one of us walked out of whatever place we were in the same suit that we came to that place in? The same body. You didn't have an out-of-body experience. This flesh is still with us. This is the carrying suit now that carries this brand new life that's on the inside of us. The change occurs on the inside. Now, what's so big about this change and what's so amazing is this change, even though it happens on the inside, is able to show itself on the outside. Amen. But you're still walking in this flesh. But on the inside, you've got a new operating system. You've got a new way of living. You've got a brand new way of thinking and acting and responding. And so what is this new system full of? What does it look like? How does it operate in our lives? It's a new way of thinking first. And a new way of speaking and a new way of living and acting and walking. But we've got to first of all understand there's a process that everything goes through. Amen. There's a process that every blessing of God that he brought to you at salvation, there's a process that it all runs through, and it's the filter of faith. And the grace of God has brought it alive in us. But it's all got to run through that filter of faith. So let's dig into that just a little bit. And let's see what we can learn. All right. Let's look at verse 3. Let me read for you verses 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Okay? For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. What are we to use? What? The gifts. The blessings, the gifts that God has given us. Let us use them. And then he goes and he just lists, not a comprehensive list, he just lists a few of them. He said, if prophecy is what's been given to you, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Amen? Remember the message Sunday? I told you that we prophesy not according to our knowledge, but in proportion to our faith. Or if it's ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy. Do it with cheerfulness. Here's the first thing. This operating system, now it's a new way of thinking, a new way of speaking, a new way of living. It's a transformed life in an old body. And the fight is to not conform back to the ways of the world, not to let that old virus get back into us, but to continue on with the Lord. And this new system gives us some things. The first thing I want to look at tonight is this new system can give us the ability to work with the body in the grace that's been given to us. So, this new system gives us the ability to work with one another. In and of yourself, you're not going to be good at that. Amen. Did you ever get written up in school for not playing well with others? Right? Or your kids, they sent home and they said, little Johnny just doesn't play well with others. He doesn't work well with others, right? See, as non-believers before Christ in our lives, we're very selfish creatures. Amen. And even many Christians are very selfish creatures. And we don't work well with others. We're all individual now. We're all doing our thing. And how many know your thing is much more important than their thing? Amen. Yeah. Some people think that way. Not us, but some people think that way. Danielle probably thinks that way. Her stuff's more important than our stuff. Yeah, there, it must be on that side over there. I've got division in the house here. I'm gonna have to. Where's my flag? I need a flag. I saw that. The only way. We can truly work with one another. Because here's another thing, and you'll find this out pretty soon if you haven't already. All of us are different. And we all do things differently. Amen? Veronica, can you say amen to that? Amen. And our way is not the only way. I didn't get any amen there. I was listening for that. I didn't get any amen there. We all do things different. We all come from different areas, different backgrounds. And this operating system, though, is functioning within us to bring all of us in all of our diversity and all of our differences and gives us now the ability to work together. Isn't that amazing? Only Christ can do that. Now, you can find people to agree with you and do things you want, but I'm talking about only Christ can bring all the diversity of his body together and cause us to function for one cause. Amen. See, that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be doing. And the only way that can happen is if we are operating within this new operating system. Because now, and Jesus taught this, and people couldn't catch it. Because it was new to them and they couldn't. He would teach them things like, if somebody strikes you on the cheek, turn the other. If they ask you to give them a coat, you give it all to them. That was foreign. Because my system is wrapped up with me and mine. But this new system is about him and his. Amen. Come on now. So what we've got to understand is we've got to go. This is what this new system will do. This new system will take us from the mindset of me and mine. And it will give us the mindset of him and his. Do you see the priority difference there? In just those two statements. How many know there's a priority change? How many know there's a world of difference between me and mine and him and his? There's a world of difference there. I mean, in reality, you could capture the whole problem with mankind right there. Me and mine or him and his. I could boil down every dysfunctional church problem to that statement. I could boil down every dysfunctional relationship to that statement. Amen? See, this is the thing. What are our thoughts? What's coming out of our mouth? What are our actions showing? See, this new system gives us the ability to work with the body of Christ because it gives us another outlook. It transforms us in such a way that what it does is it gives us a brand new outlook. That's what this is all about. It gives us a brand new vision, a brand new outlook, that it's no longer me and mine, it's him and his. Look with me. Let me read it again. Don't think of yourself, me and mine, more highly than you should. Right? But think soberly. Because we have many members. And we all have different functions. And whatever we do, do it in the grace God's given us to do it. Let your outlook become him and his. Amen? Every war can be boiled down to that statement. Me and mine versus him and his. Amen. If you can get there, if you can let your mind get there, remember, he's transforming us. He's transforming our way of thinking. He's not wanting, he says, do not conform to me and mine any longer. Because now you're put in a body of multitude people and it's all about him and his. Oh, amen. That, if we could somehow get this, this new operating system works with now others. We it works with those that have this operating system. That's how we can live peaceably with one another. That's how we can, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's how we can honor others. We speak through faith now, remembering that grace was given to us. We do everything now through faith, remembering grace was given to us. I can react differently now to Robert because through faith I can now, I'm alive to remember grace was given to me. So therefore, I can give grace to Robert. Amen? To be Robert. To be who God made him to be. And that's not a little me or another me. It's a unique Robert. Because this is not about me and mine. It's about him and his. Amen. Come on now. And you know what? His looks different than yours. Every time. It looks different. It seems different. His reacts in all sorts of ways. And it won't always jive with yours. Jesus even prayed. In the garden, Jesus, as a man, was working his way through this. Amen? Because what did he pray in the garden? Father, if this cup could pass from me, let it. But if not, I'm going through. Because it's not about me now, it's about yours, you and yours. The disciples all left him that night. You know why? Because they got their eyes on me and mine. Amen? They did. They weren't seeing him and his. I know you're hearing it. I'm just trying to say it for my benefit, I think, more than yours. This will help you accept others as members of the body of Christ just like you are. Wherever they come from, whatever they do, however they respond, however they react. Just because they don't react like you, just because they don't belong to your group, just because they're not a part of your tribe, doesn't mean they're not a part of his. They were walking down the road, and James and John, the sons of thunder, came to Jesus and said, "Hey, we saw some guys over there. They're casting out devils in your name. They're not a part of us. You want us to call fire down on them?" Isn't that how we are? Because it's about me and mine. They're not a part of us. They're not like us. Let's get them, right? Let's attack them. And Jesus said, "You leave them alone. If they're not against us, they're for us." This is about mine. This is not about yours. I hope we can hear that. We need to understand it. And here's the thing. When we get this new operating system and it's helping us work with others, and we're getting this new mind that's not me and mine, but him and his, when we do that, then we can understand that unity in the body comes from Christ. As long as you are working in the old system that's me and mine, you'll never understand the unity that comes through Christ when it becomes about him and his. Now, if you're waiting for this to get better, it's not going to get any better. So you might as well just jump in with me now. It's about him and his. That's where unity comes from. You know why I can be nice to someone that doesn't like me? Because it's not about me and mine, it's about him and his. And whether that person likes me or not, they're his. Or at least he wants them to be. And so I have now a responsibility because my life's on the altar. Amen. I've presented my body, so me and mine's laying on the altar. Him and his are now who I'm serving. Amen. Come on now. That's good stuff right there. Live with the, it's an altered way of living. It's a way of under, it's a new operating system. This will help you extend the same grace to others that was extended to you. How many of you needed grace from God at some point in your life? I know for most of you it's many, many years ago, and you've never really needed that kind of grace again. But I want to tell you, I have to have grace extended to me every day. I need it. I know some of y'all think I'm perfect, but I'm not. Veronica thinks I am, but I'm not. It's only the grace of God that makes me perfect like I am. And humble, by the way. Yeah, there you go. But it's great. It's only grace. And God extends grace to me. And therefore, through this new operating system, I can extend grace to others. That's why when you hold on to wrongs that people did, and you hold on to anger and hatred and bitterness, you are stopping God's flow of blessings in your life. Because you are focused on me and mine, not him and his. And you might say, "Well, I'm not going to forgive them. You don't know what they did to me." No, you've got to forgive them so you can release them so you don't have to live under it any longer. They're God's. Leave them in his hands. I'm on the altar. I'm just here. That life that they offended, that thing's laying on the altar. This is a new life. Let me say something to you. And I don't know if you can hear this or not, but maybe somebody will. What that person offended is no longer your operating system. Let it go. Amen? The Bible says we can be renewed daily. That's why if you'll stay on the altar, that the old things pass away. And all things become new. See, when we still drag up and throw in one another's faces things that we did to one another 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years, we're still living in that old operating system. Whew. That's pretty stout, isn't it? But if we live in the altar, If we keep putting ourselves on the altar and we keep laying that down and we say old things are passed away, then it may have been wrong and it hurt. And I probably will always remember it because I'm walking around in this body. But you know what? I don't have to allow it to defeat me any longer or to tie me down or to bind me up or to keep me from receiving everything God has for me, because it's not about me and mine. It's about Him and His. And here's the good news about that. And if I hope I can say this in the way that you can hear this. Me and mine is outside of Christ, but when you lay me and mine on the altar, Him and His comes into focus, and guess what? You are His. Amen. And the reality is, God will take care of His much better than you will take care of yours. And so when I lay mine down and I focus on His, I'm His. And He's fighting for me. Amen. Okay. Verse 9. Let love. My time's run out. We may have a 3-part series. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Okay. This new operating system now that we have, it helps us to work with others because our outlook becomes Him and His, no longer me and mine. And now we begin to love sincerely. Our love, now there's something in this that you got to hear. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Now he's going to talk to us about this new operating system is an operating system of love. But it's a sincere love. It's a full love. It's a complete love. It's a love that is an agape kind of love. A God love. It's a love that only God can download into you. People that do not know Christ as their Savior cannot understand that agape kind of love. They can feel it. They can sense it. That's why people will say there's something different. But it's a different way of living. And so we love now through Christ. Remember, all this is through the filter of faith that's given to us. It's by grace that it's come alive in us now. And it's filtered through faith. So we're living now through faith. And it's not me and mine. It's Him and His. And now we are to love sincerely. What does that mean? I was thinking about that. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. That means genuine, not fake. Sincere love does not manipulate. Manipulation is that. Manipulation is me and mine. Sincere love is love without hypocrisy, without the mask. That's what hypocrisy really is. It means hiding your face, hiding your reality. Amen. Of what? Love, a real thing. It's even greater than that. It's a real being. Because the Bible says, God is love. Amen. Love, it's not manipulation. It's not trying to get your way. It's not about you being happy. It's not about, right? And that takes a new operating system. It's not, it's without hypocrisy. It's sincerely loving. That's why he says, wives, in the scripture, he says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands as unto the Lord. It doesn't mean you're lower than, less than, anything like that. We've made all of that up. It just simply means you're loving without hypocrisy. Him and His. And husbands, I like the way far too many times we quote that scripture and then we stop right there. Amen. Wives, submit to your... I've known guys, they live their whole life off that doctrine. And they never read the other part of the verse. The first part. They just bypassed it. They just said, you got to submit to me because I'm the husband. Amen. Well, I would not advise you to say that. Amen. Yeah. Now, but it says, husbands, what are we to do? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave himself. See, it's both about him and his. Not me and mine. It's without hypocrisy. It's loving that other now. It's loving first God and loving others as yourself. Not manipulating. Not showing love when it's good for you. Wow. So, love sincerely. That means not manipulate, genuine. Love, sincere love, rejects evil. Evil is the opposite of God's good. Sincere love rejects anything opposite of God's good. Amen. I want God's good for you. When we discipline our children, we shouldn't do it out of anger. That's what's led to the abuse that takes place. Amen? Rather, as parents, we love sincerely. We abhor evil. We want God's good. So we discipline for God's good. Because he says, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Let go of those things that aren't to God's benefit and for God's glory, and cling to everything that is good. It's a new way of living. I'm just going to stop there because I've got more, and this just seems like a good place to stop. This new operating system only comes through faith. And you've got to live in that faith so it can grow. And it grows through grace. It comes alive by grace, and it grows through grace. And the more you live through that measure of faith, the more these things begin to come alive in this new life now that you're given. The me and mine begins to fall away, and the him and his begins to rise up, and you're recognizing other people are given things by God, and we should work according to the grace that's been given to each one of us, and we understand unity comes through Christ, and now we're learning to love sincerely, and we begin to realize a whole lot of things that we used to call love were really manipulation. If I was talking to the teenagers over there, maybe the adults need it just as bad. You've been there before when that young guy says to that young girl, if you love me, you will. Me and mine. Rather, a believer should say, I love you, so I will. Look for someone that'll say, I love you, so I will. Not if you love me, you would. That's worth the price of admission right there. I'm going to tell you. That's powerful. In any aspect of your life, that'll work. I'm not just talking about the concept of you love me, you'll give yourself in a sexual relationship. I'm talking about that whole concept. If you love me, you will. That's a me and my way of thinking. But I love you, so I will, because it's about him and his. And you're his. It seems like Scripture talks to us about that. Russell, would you pull up for me 1 Corinthians chapter 13? I think we've got some scriptural support for this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I think probably right down around verse number, what, 4? Are you? It's there. Huh. What? Verse 4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Does not envy. It doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Remember, that's what he said. That's sincere love. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Sincere love. Agape, God love never fails. Amen. See, that's what this new operating system has in it. But it has to be brought alive by grace, and then it has to be filtered through faith. And there has to be that transformation that's ongoing in our life as we draw closer to Him and we begin to see others through His eyes and we begin to treat others as He would treat them. Then love becomes sincere. We begin to work together. We begin to find unity. And love changes the world. They wanted Jesus to set up His kingdom when He walked on this earth. They wanted Him to overthrow Caesar and Rome. They wanted Him to yank back the land and set Jerusalem and all of Israel back into its place of freedom. But what Jesus came to do was love. There'll be a day when all is restored. But it started with the greatest act of love mankind has ever seen. And it gave a new way of operating that will one day lead to eternal life, free from all of that old stuff. Yes. This is the way. I am the way. Follow after me. That's why he could come up and they would throw a woman taken in adultery at his feet. And they would say, Abraham, me and mine say she needs to be stoned. What do you say? Jesus was all about him and his. And he said, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. Right? Zacchaeus had been a thief of money. Bible says he was a tax collector. What he was doing was he was going above and beyond. That was the thing. They could go above and beyond what was rightfully theirs. And whatever they could get out of the people, they could keep as long as they got what Rome needed. And everybody else hated them. The Jews hated them because they were traitors to their own people. And Jesus went to his house and said, this is not about me and mine. That's the wrong mind. This is about him and his. And I'll love sincerely. I'm not going to manipulate this moment. I'm just going to love. They said when he's hanging on the cross, if you're really the Messiah and the Son of God, call the angels down to take you off of here and set you free. And he could have done it. He was really the Son of God. He could have called them down and they could have came. But he was there to love and to pay the price for those that were the Father's. Sincere love. Satan came to him in temptation and tempted him to focus on me and mine. Turn these stones to bread. You're hungry. Scripture says, I'll take you up here, throw yourself off. You can't even dash your foot on a stone, it'll all be all right. Me and mine, it's all about you. Jesus said, no, it's all about him and his. Amen. And love sincerely. So this new operating system gives us a new outlook. And it gives us a new way to love. More than that, these are beginning steps. And it all activates the grace coming to us. The grace that is given to us to come alive in us. And then it all works through the filter of faith. If you can believe, all things are possible in this system. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight.